Good morning, all. Glad to be with you again, always, to be together to worship our God. Last time I preached, one of our little people came up and told me she really appreciated when I would put things on the board because it made it easier for her to take notes. And I'm sure she's not the only one who thought that. She's just the one that worked the gumption up to tell me. So I'm going to try to keep doing something like this. I'll probably try to do a PowerPoint so you don't have to suffer with my handwriting. Although I think it's fairly legible. But appreciate the songs that Robbie led us in. Appreciate what LJ read for us. We're all probably pretty familiar with the story that LJ read. In Daniel 3, this the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that Nebuchadnezzar had set up this gold image and had at the command of, or at the sound of the music, had commanded that the people were to bow down and to worship it, but that these men refused to do so, and they would not serve the image. And as it says in verse 15 of Daniel 3, in his fury, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "If you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace, and who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" And in response to this, I think we see one of the most amazing declarations of faith recorded in the scripture. They say in verses 16 and 18, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." What amazing conviction we see in these three men. Their dedication to the Lord, in the face of a literal trial of fire, they refuse to bend the knee to any but the Lord God. And I think that their faith teaches us two really, really important things about overcoming and weathering trials in our life. The first being that they had faith in the power of God to deliver them from Nebuchadnezzar. They knew that no matter what Nebuchadnezzar did to them, that the power that God had could take them out of that trial and remove them from his hand. And this is an idea that's repeated throughout Scripture. It's fortunate that Robbie led the song he did just before the lesson, because the verses that we're going to read are quoted almost verbatim in the song. If you look in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and in verse 6, here it says that Moses speaking says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." And in the book of Isaiah in chapter 41 and in verse 10, the prophet writes there and he says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." For those who are God's faithful, we can be assured from the things God has said to us through his word that he is always going to be there for us, that even in trials, that he has that power to help us, to deliver us from hard times. And we don't just have these explicit statements from his word in which he says he'll be there. God actually demonstrates his faithfulness to his people and the examples that we see throughout the scripture. We have examples like Job, who suffered greatly in the beginning of Job chapter 1 and chapter 2, losing virtually everything that he had to lose. But we know from throughout the book that he learns that he has to rely on God and trust in God as his salvation. In Job chapter 19 and verse 25, he talks about how he knows that his Redeemer lives. And at the end of the book, chapter 42 and verse 2, he says to the Lord, "I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you." So throughout his trials, Job had to learn that it was God that his hope lay in. It was God that was going to be able to deliver him in this time, and he had to trust in him. We have examples like David, who had learned from his own experience as a shepherd that God had the power to deliver from danger and deliver from trial. In 1 Samuel 17, here this is when he's about to go up and he's going to face Goliath, and he wants to know who will go against this Philistine. And when he says that he's going to do it and the people doubt that he'll be able to take on this giant, he says in verse 37, Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." In his time as a shepherd, David had been saved by the Lord from those things that threatened his flock, and he knew from that experience that God had the power to deliver him from anything else. And that confidence in God's power, that faith he had in what God could do, enabled him to face Goliath. These are examples for us to look to that show us the faithfulness of God and the power he has to help in times of trial. And they would have been examples that Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego would have looked to, being Jews and knowing these stories as we know them. And they themselves are an example to us, too, of faith in the face of trials. And for us, we have examples in the New Testament. We have examples in the early Christians and the apostles, the things that they endured and suffered at the hands of those who opposed them. And Paul in 2 Timothy 3, he speaks specifically about his own experience, and we know, you can go and read in 2 Corinthians 11, all the things that Paul suffered for the cause of Christ. But he says in 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 10, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me." Paul knew from his experience that the Lord had the power to deliver him from trials, to help him in times that he had need. And through Paul's example, many in the first century were no doubt encouraged by Paul and his experience and his statement here that out of all these things, the Lord delivered him. And truly, brethren, out of all these things, the Lord can deliver us too. We need to develop this level of confidence in the power of God, to see all that the Lord has done for these other people and know that he can do these things for us too. We know that trials of fire will come for us at one time or another. And when they do, we need to be ready for them. We need to have confidence, trust, faith in God the way these three men had faith in the power of God to deliver them out of any trial. But faith in God's power is not the only thing that these men demonstrate in their statement. I think that they also show that they are trusting in whatever the will of God would be. That's what their statement, "but if not," is saying. If God chooses not to deliver us, we're still not going to serve your God. They knew that God had that power to help them, to deliver them from the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. But they also knew that it didn't matter what God chose to do in the way of helping them through this trial. They were going to serve God and no other. And again, we have lots of examples through the scripture of people who do similar things. I think about Esther. You recall there that in Esther, the people were being sold out to be executed by Haman. And Mordecai encouraged Esther to go to the king to speak to him on behalf of the people, even though the consequence for that could have been death for her. And when Mordecai convinces her in Esther chapter 4 and in verse 16, she says, "Go and gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." She was resolved to go and speak with the king, to petition him on behalf of the people of God, no doubt confident that God could deliver her, but willing to accept that if he chose not to, that she would die. She was ready to accept whatever the will of God would be for her. In the book of Daniel, we read later on in Daniel 6, when Darius is king, that Darius creates this petition to such that the people are not allowed to pray to any other god but him. And the punishment for that, of course, was to be cast into the lion's den. And so what does Daniel do in Daniel 6? Daniel prays to the Lord, knowing what the consequence would be if he was caught, knowing that he'd be cast into the lion's den. He continued to pray to the Lord. Daniel, too, was resolved to serve the Lord God, regardless of whether he would be delivered from the lion's den. Surely Daniel also knew that God had the power to deliver him from that. But he continued to pray, regardless of whether or not God would deliver him from that. He was ready to accept the outcome for his devotion to the Lord, whatever it might be. And all of these are great examples of people who were ready to accept whatever the will of God was for them. But these are also examples, too, that I guess you might say they have the happy ending. They have the ending in which God does deliver them out of trial and out of difficulty. But the scripture has a lot of other examples of people who God didn't deliver from trial or didn't deliver them swiftly from trial. We talked about Job, about how Job had suffered greatly. He lost his livestock, he lost his servants, his children, lost his health. Throughout the book, we really see that he lost his reputation and many other things through that process. But if we look in Job chapter 1, after he loses his servants and his children and his livestock, we read verse 21. We'll start in verse 20. It says, "Then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.'" And if we read down in verse 10, when Satan afflicts him again and he steals his health from him, and his wife says in verse 9, to curse God and die, Job says to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity?" We know, of course, God does eventually deliver Job from this trial that he's going through. But he allows Job to suffer for quite a while with some pretty severe things. And so despite this tremendous loss that Job went through, despite his suffering, we can see that Job was ready to accept that this is what God's will was for him. Even if God wasn't going to deliver him, he was ready to accept the adversity God had chosen for him. Well, what about David again? You know, in 2 Samuel 12, is where we read about Nathan confronting him about his sin with Bathsheba. And one of the things Nathan tells him that as consequence for their sin is that the child that they conceived would die. And we read through 2 Samuel 12 that David fasted and he prayed and he pleaded with the Lord that the child might live. But ultimately, of course, the child dies. For 7 days, David had fasted, but then when he learns that the child is dead, he rises up and he ceases his fasting. And his servants wonder at this and wonder why he ceases fasting once he knows the child is dead. And in 2 Samuel 12, and in verse 22 and 23, David's reply is, "While the child was alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, 'Who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me, that the child may live? But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall return to him, but he shall not return to me.'" Excuse me. David was also confident in the Lord's ability to save this child. He knew that God had that power. But when he saw that the child was dead, that God took the child from him, he accepted what God had decided. What about the Apostle Paul? Again, we know Paul suffered greatly for the cause of Christ. And we know specifically of something that he suffered, whatever this thorn in the flesh we read about was in 2 Corinthians 12. But we read that Paul had prayed earnestly, prayed 3 times, that thorn in the flesh be taken away. And that God told him, "My grace is sufficient for you." And Paul's response to this, if we go to 2 Corinthians 12, if I can get there. Starting in verse 9, he says, "Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Paul, again, suffered a lot of things. And with this thorn in the flesh in particular, he knew God had the power to take that away. Otherwise, he wouldn't have prayed for it to be taken away. But Paul was ready to accept God's answer, and God gave him a no. And Paul was content with that. And you can read in Philippians 4, and Paul talks about this idea that he learns in all things to be content, to accept whatever God's will was for him. And most importantly, and I think most famously, Jesus himself, who makes an appearance in Daniel chapter 3, if you'll recall, the one who has the image like the Son of God in the furnace with the three men. Jesus, in his hour of trial, prayed to his Father three times that this cup, that this burden of the cross might be taken away from him, if it was at all possible. But three times through Matthew 26, we also read that he prayed, "Your will be done." Jesus knew better than anybody, probably, what God could do to help him. But Jesus also knew there was no other way for us to be saved. And he desired that the will of his Father, the will of God, be done more than his own will. And as a result, the Christ was betrayed, he was beaten, reviled, and he was crucified. But he accepted that that was what God's will was for him. Each of these examples, many others, show us that we have to be able to accept the will of God, no matter what the outcome, to be content even when God says no. And to not only just accept God's will, but to continue being the people that God expects us to be. That's something that all of these people had in common, is God told them no, they accepted that, and they remained faithful and devoted to the Lord. I think at times we do well, or fairly well, at the idea of trusting in God when things are hard and his power to deliver us. But sometimes we don't learn as well how to accept God's answer when his answer isn't what we want. I think there are likely many people who were once faithful to the Lord that left the faith because when the trials of fire came, they weren't ready to accept what God's will was. But we have to learn that in our suffering, regardless of whether God decides to deliver us, we need to accept his will to continue to be who he wants us to be. It's not to say it's easy, because it's not. You know, we're not going to deal with trials like what these men went through. We're not likely to be threatened with cast into a literal fiery furnace. We're not likely to even suffer the things of the first century Christians that many of them had to deal with. But we're going to come to a point in our life in which we're going to have some things that are really going to test our faith. Might be losing a loved one in tragedy, losing a child. It might be a terminal diagnosis for yourself or for someone else. It might be conflict in the home, others mistreating you again in the home, at school, at work. All of these things are things we could relate to, things we've encountered. And if we can't learn to accept the will of God in those times, then we're going to be crushed by those things. But we have to learn to accept it. No matter what happens, we have to continue to be who he wants us to be. I'll leave you with one more passage that I think sums up this idea well. If you can find it in the book of Habakkuk. In chapter 3 and verse 17, I'm not going to turn there because I have it written here, but the prophet says this. He says, "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock be cut off from the fold, may there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on the high hills." This is the attitude of a Christian. This is the attitude that we ought to have towards the will of God. To give God glory in those times of trial. To continue to be his child, come what may. When the trials come, when the hardship occurs, we need to have the resolve that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. That resolve to say, "I know God is able to deliver me from this, but if not, I'm going to be who he needs me to be. And I will serve him and no other." I appreciate your attention this morning. You know, one of the things we see as a result of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's faith is that the Lord did deliver them from death, and they were set free from their bondage in a physical sense. They had been bound in ropes and cast into the fire. And God saved them from death and broke those bonds for them. And similarly, the Lord has provided a way for us to be delivered from death and to be freed from our own bondage in sin. He provided his Son to be a sacrifice that we might be reconciled to him, that we might be set free from slavery and sin, that we could be slaves of righteousness to God. And if you're here this morning and you've not made that commitment to the Lord, you've not devoted yourself to him or made yourself a slave of righteousness, we encourage you to do that, that you do it while you have opportunity. If you're here and you're struggling in anything, if you have your own fiery trial you're dealing with, please let us know in any way we can help. We'd be happy to do that, happy to lift you up, to bear your burden. Whatever your need might be, please consider these things while we stand and while we sing.